I often kind of go throughout my weeks I'm not preaching, and I kind of put sermons together in my head. Sometimes they come together more in my head when I think, wow, this is going to be great. And sometimes when they're delivered, I'm like, well, that's not all that great. So I hope the way that this one is put together this morning, that it comes across in an easy to understand way. Because I often think, you know, if I can relay something in a way that I understand it, hopefully others would understand it as well. But being the age that I am in, and in this era of technology, I often think of some of the things that have been made available to me just in my lifetime. And one of those are applications. There's a very common saying in probably my age and younger, is that whenever we run into a challenge, we normally say, it's okay, there's an app for that. It's a very common thing to say. And there is. There is just an app for just about anything. When we think about that, we think that we might have a mobile device or a computer that we might be trying to solve something hard. And we might need an app for that. Again, it's something that people say all the time. Jen and I were just driving in the car the other day, and she mentioned something complicated. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure there is an app for that. I was like, yeah, we could probably resolve this pretty quick. I bet there's an app to fix that. And it's kind of been made a joke throughout the years that there are apps for just about everything. Take, for instance, there's a comic up top where this kid comes into a classroom, and the teacher asks him why he didn't say good morning, and he said, well, I didn't have an app to do that. Or the parent is trying to figure out how to calm the child down, hoping that there is an app to help fix that. I mean, there literally is an app for everything. Take, for instance, you might not remember where you parked. Well, and you might need a locator to figure out where you parked, but you want them to do it in a pirate's voice. There is literally an app to do that. There is an app out there that will tell you where you parked your car, but not only will it do that, but it'll act like it's a pirate. So how strange is that? There literally is something out there for everything. I think of how often I take my phone out to use it for an application. I use my phone as a level. I use it to do very complicated mathematics. It's almost made math very simple because I can actually scan my handwritten notes and it will actually relay my math concept for me. And I think of, wow, why didn't they have this when I was in high school? Also, when I play my guitar, I get a tuner built into my phone and it even tells me how to play a song. And then, of course, probably the most important one that I have is the Krispy Kreme one lets me know when the Krispy Kreme hot and ready light is on. Right? I don't necessarily need an app for all of these things. But I was thinking about an app really is just an application that we would use in our lives. So this morning, I would like to present an idea that I've had, and I've been mulling this around my head for a while, that really the saying should be, there's a verse for that. App. Because that's what we're going to talk about today. Because today I was thinking, when I was reading over some old notes and everything that I had, it talked about the source of where all of our wisdom and knowledge and everything should come from. And of course we know that that should come from God. So when I was thinking, well, what if I was to develop an app to help us gain knowledge and understanding of the Bible, what would that look like? So as you can imagine, it was very easy to think about some of these things. Because I would try to go to the source code, right, which would be the code of how everything is written. Well, the source code was already written for me, right, the Bible. Not only was it written for me, but it was written by many authors over the years and was made perfect. So I know what, no matter what I use for this outcome, as long as it's God's word, that this was made perfect. So this morning, I would like to share just some ideas that I had for this. Now, in reality, I'm just joking. I'm not really making an app to do this, but that's what it's going to look like this morning. So, as you can see here, I have my phone up here. And we're going to throw some things in here and let's see what the outcome will look like. Right now, I've been talking to a lot of people, even with our announcements this morning. Something that people might be dealing with, especially this right now, is that they might be weak. Now, let's see what happens when we put this into our application. So when we hit enter here, we should be given a new idea here. So when we put in weak, we see that we need strength. And of course, our outcomes for that are laid out in some verses. Now, as you can imagine, I have a lot of verses that will link to a lot of the words we'll use this morning, but I'm only going to be reading a handful. However, I'm always going to display multiple verses. However, but this morning, I'd like just to read a handful of each. So let's look at Ephesians 6 and 10, Philippians and 1 John. I like to read those. When I think about being weak and think about being strengthened, let's take a look at these verses. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Philippians 4 and 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." 1 John 2 and 14 says, "I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and to the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the struggling against Satan and struggling against the devil. When we think of this, we think of the things that can strengthen us. To continue on with this idea, some of the other words that we might think of are ones that I actually hear often. I hear this from my students. I hear this from other members here. And it's oftentimes the word afraid. Right now, it's finals week. I have a student that is so afraid of failing his final, he refused to take it. And I really struggled with that. I said, "Well, you're going to get a zero either way." He said, "But that is better than me taking it and knowing I failed." I said, "Okay, you still get an F." But he was so afraid of that, it really made me think about this being afraid. But if we are afraid, the thing that we need to replace that with is courage. And with courage, I think of Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, "Keep our lives free from the love of money and the count that with that you have, because God said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" Because we need that courage as we go throughout our lives. We need that strength to help us pull through possibly hard times. Also, with courage and being afraid, one of the other common things that we see today, especially, is depression or being depressed. There's a lot to be said with this. I was actually watching a video last night with my mom and dad where it was also talking about depression rates. They've skyrocketed in just the last few years, since about 2010. And that depression really has weighed on a lot of people. The important thing that I learned from that study is that it's affecting younger and younger generations as the years progress. It started affecting teens, now preteens and younger, this depression. But whenever we're feeling this way or thinking about these things, we need to replace that with faith, joy, and hope. And let's look at Romans 5 and 1 through 5 for this answer. Romans 5, 1 through 5 this morning says, "Therefore, having been justified in faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing the tribulations produced perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So if we are depressed, these are some words that we can think about that can lift us up. So we can think about these things and embrace faith, joy, and hope. Because oftentimes we might see ourselves as being tempted. We might be tempted or being pulled away. We need to think about and consider those things, because being tempted may pull us away from that joy and hope. Because if we're tempted, we need that way of escape. So, of course, the answer is the way of escape. And we get that from 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." That God gives us this way of escape. Now, the way of escape might be uphill. It might be harder to do. This morning we talked about this balance of it's harder to work uphill, to work up towards something. It's easy to maintain and go downhill. This way of escape might be a little bit harder. We may have to flee from it. And that fleeing from it may be uphill. But we know we have this way of escape. Because if we are not concerned with our way of escape, it may lead to other things. And those other things may be drifting us away. We may be drifting away from what we need to focus on. So sorry, I gave the answer to what our next point is. We might be drifting away, so we need focus. Focus. I'm going to read from Hebrews. As you can see, I have multiple verses here, but I'm going to look at Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. I've always made the joke about myself that I started reading a book called Focus. It was only like 60-some pages like 4 years ago, and I haven't finished it. But we need this focus. We need focus on these things. And Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 states this morning, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." Because we do not want to drift away. "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." So we need to think about these words that have been spoken. Now I encourage you to read Hebrews 2 and 3, the chapters. They focus on this, no pun intended. It's for us to think about how we are to handle this drifting away. Because a part of drifting away and losing focus, one of the issues we may run into is being proud. Now, I was honestly thinking that if I really made this a verse or an app for people to look up verses, I don't think a lot of people would type in the word "I'm proud." Right? It's not maybe a conscious thing that we would do. It may be something that somebody is, but maybe it's not something they would type in. So, but if we are proud, that is something we really need to think about. Because I often think Christians need to be servant leaders and to not be proud. Because we know of a few stories where people were struggling with a few things and may have come off not really understanding what God's focus was. Because if we are proud, we need to be made humble. And I'd like to read from Job this morning. And the reason that I would like to read from Job this morning is because, it, to me, it puts in context this humility. And I'm only going to read, and I have the books up here, Job 41 and 42. But really, I'm just going to read the first 11 verses of Job this morning, because I think it just kind of, the last couple verses of this kind of makes you sit down and think, yeah, I'm not really anything in this world, but just a follower of God. And Job 41 and 1 starts off with, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare, his tongue with a line which you lure? Can you put a reed through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications for you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will he take him as a servant forever? Will he play with him as with a bird? Or will you lash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet for him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hands on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Can't imagine how powerful this Leviathan was. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he could dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? If no one can stand against this beast, how in the world are they going to be able to stand against God? Who has preceded me that I shall pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. So I think of this humility that Job had, or what God was trying to relay. That who are we? In this whole scheme of things, who are we to say who we are if we are proud? Now, for time's sake this morning, I wish I could have had other verses this morning. I was thinking about these. I was thinking that if we are lonely, we need fellowship. I was thinking an input is if we feel guilty about something, we need forgiveness. Or if we're ignorant about something, if we're not knowledgeable about something, we need to seek knowledge. Or if we feel sorry for ourselves or have self-pity, we need to think about gratitude. We need to think about others. Now, as you can imagine, you could probably think of many things that we could put in here that would have a positive output, that we could read upon these verses and be strengthened. When we think about fellowshipping with one another, when we think about forgiveness, knowledge, and gratitude, these are things that should lift us up and give us courage. As we're kind of thinking about bringing this sermon to a close, I was trying to figure out how to end this morning. And I was thinking of one last input. What if we were lost? What if I was to put that in here? What output would I have? What output would I have if I said, what if I'm lost in struggling? The best output I could think with that would be found. Because if we are seeking and we are lost, I'm thinking about Matthew 7:7-8. Matthew 7:7-8 this morning says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Do we know where we are this morning? Do we know where we are in our religious state? Well, luckily, one of the things that I added into my application was a GPS system. I added a GPS so we would know where we're at, so we're found, right? I know exactly where we are right now. It's pinpointed us, there's the building. We know where we are. However, this question about being lost and found has been brought up before. Because somebody was needing to be shown the way. And I was thinking about the Ethiopian eunuch, because we've been studying that the last couple weeks. But he was lost because he wasn't quite understanding what he was reading. And he was a little confused by that. So let's look at those verses again this morning real quick. I hope that everybody can see that okay. In Acts 8, 34 through 39, to me when I read this, I think about somebody that's lost and is trying to understand their way. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? So he's confused. He's trying to figure this out. He's lost. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him, and now they went down the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hindereth me from being baptized? So he clearly understood where he was at. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord lifted Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Right? That's a very common scripture. But I was thinking, if I could really create this app, one of the things that I would display is that there is water detected. There is water here today, this morning, behind me. And just like the Ethiopian eunuch that was lost and needed to find his way, he needed to come upon some water in order to be baptized. He understood that that was the decision that he needed to make. He laid it out right here. Now, with this morning, we've covered several aspects. We've talked about being lost. We've talked about encouragement. We've talked about seeking our ways. However, we can use our GPS to figure out where we are. But we need to think about where we are spiritually and use the applications that we've been provided or the Word of God in order to find out where we need to go and what we need to do. So I would invite anyone this morning that would like to be baptized or have any questions like the Ethiopian eunuch did, please come forward and stand as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.